Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.
Watching us right now?
Not live.
No.
Luckily.
But I mean, at some point, like, you sitting there on what looks like a vacation, and me sitting here looking envious at you, somebody can see that, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. And if you do watch the video version, the intro song was cut off a little bit because I made Craig stop it and then restart it because my 18-year-old woke me up at like 6 o'clock in the morning the other day with a "Dad, I think I'm in trouble." And you can hear that right away. And she, it was very easy to figure it out, had an appendicitis. And I had to rush her to the emergency room. They did all the stuff. They took her appendix out. Now she's recovering. And I'm the only one in the house that can take care of her, right? So it's like, she just was yelling right before we started. So we had to pause, restart. She's okay now. Hopefully she will not yell the next half hour and I'll have to run upstairs from the basement bar to go take care of her. So I'm a caretaker now because that's what they do, Craig. Now they take a whole organ out of your body and then they send you home 90 minutes later because God forbid you have a bed overnight. Let somebody else take care of you. Get out. We got your appendix. Appendix is in a bucket over here. You're luckily not in a bucket. You get to live. And now you're on your way home and somebody else will take care of you. Here are some meds. Get the hell out. That's modern medicine for you now these days.
And it sounds like the Pirates pitching to a degree. I mean, it's like, get in here, we'll give you a cutter, we'll give you a slider, maybe, and then, like, get out on the mound, and if it works out, then it does. But if it doesn't, then I guess you're on to the next team. But, I mean, we'll see what happens, Chris. I mean, the biggest thing here is, like, spring training over reactions. Reactions over reactions. This is the stuff that happens. It's pretty much, you know, if a guy goes, you know, 5 for 15 with like 3 home runs, he's the next Willie Mays, Roberto Clemente, whoever it would be. And if he strikes out, you know, 5 times during that, then he is jettisoned to the sun. I mean, it's very goofy.
It's spring training, for crying out loud. Like, here's how I look at spring training. I look at it as there's a group of people that you have expectations for that you expect to play on your team that year. You're just warming them up, and their actual performance doesn't matter very much. And then you have the people that you're actually waiting to see, can they make the team? Can they steal a job from somebody? Like, non-roster invitees. Those are those guys, right? Like, maybe they steal a job. Maybe there's an actual competition where it matters. It doesn't matter for everyone, though, right? Like, if you're a rookie and you're down in the minor leagues and your timetable isn't exactly set yet, you can win a job, but you gotta be, you know, over your skis getting it. You're not anointed, so maybe you steal a job away. Otherwise, they have a pretty good idea of who the 26th man is. Like, the perfect example is whether or not Jared Jones makes the team. It's interesting to me that FanGraphs now has started to list him as the 5th starter on the team, their projected one. That is a national thing. And, you know, as much as I love Jason Martinez, he's been on this show before, sometimes he's right, sometimes he's guessing. What is your thought?
I mean, Chris, the biggest thing on this is that, I mean, you texted me about this, like, right after there was some, you know, writings in the newspapers and stuff about what could happen with Jared Jones. And I almost went to, I mean, I hate to say this. I mean, we have a Sox in the Basement podcast. I have a brother-in-law who is a big White Sox fan. I mean, we've seen Garrett Crochet. I mean, you could be good for two innings at a time. Anybody could be good for two innings at a time. I mean, not everybody. But a lot of these guys who are high leverage people can be good for two innings at a time. So, I mean, until I see him stretched out, and do I think that Jared Jones could be a good, you know, professional baseball player? Absolutely. Do I think he's ready? I'm not actually sure yet. Because, I mean, I see a lot of stuff that I've watched with him in the minors where he was struggling to find the zone, was walking a lot of people, had a fairly high whip at times. So I think they're listing him because, I mean, you've got a lot of beat reporters down here, and I ran into a couple of them today, and I love the beat reporters we have down here. I mean, we've had them on the podcast. I mean, look at Jason Mackey. I ran into Alex Stump, who was with DK Pittsburgh Sports, is now with MLB.com. I love these guys, but you kind of get stuck in this vortex down here where you have stories that are kind of, I don't know if they're put towards you or if they're fed towards you, but there's only certain guys that you are allowed to talk to. And you ask, okay, is Jared Jones a starter? And they will say, you know, well, he's in competition. Anybody who has watched baseball or who has followed baseball, there are about, I don't know, 10 guys in competition. I mean, you have so many NRI guys. I just watched Chase Anderson go out and throw. You have Brett Honeywell Jr. You have, I mean, just name a guy, throw a dart, and they could be a starter. Jared Jones has performed well. That looks good for the team. But is that realistically something that will, I don't know, get you to your opening day roster? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it could.
I think it's funny that you brought up. I think it's funny that you brought up Garrett Crochet with the White Sox as your comparison, and he actually is performing really well, and they're stretching him out. I think he's going to make the rotation, so maybe Jared Jones can make the rotation. You know, I mean, here's the thing: I look at it at the. I'm looking at the national people now starting to eat up the possibility that this guy could make the rotation, and look, he's had how many appearances now? He's had four appearances. He's had four appearances in spring. He started one game. And over those four appearances, he only has a 7 1/3 total innings. So you're right. What have you done to show me that he can go more than two innings? In four appearances, he's averaging less than two innings when he's out there. Yeah, I love the whip, 0.82. And again, I don't put a ton of stock into spring numbers because if I did, I would say Mitch Keller shouldn't even be on the staff because he has not been very good. If you look at the, what is it, three appearances that he's had so far. And eight total innings, right? Like his numbers were, but I don't expect him to do that all year long. So like, he's a guy who's just working stuff out. You know, here's my thing with Jones. I think that deep down in the end, they'll probably want to keep him down and make sure that they've got a good amount of innings that he can go out and he can pitch to be effective, especially when they have other guys that are on the 40 man or have been in the majors before that are showing some signs of life. I actually, you know, Brent Honeywell, you brought him up. I find him really interesting. I mean, he's got six appearances though. He's clearly a relief pitcher. He could make your bullpen easily though, the way that he's pitching, because he's actually going out there and keeping guys off base. You know, it's hard for me to find the fifth starter based upon what they're doing because nobody's got like more than two innings of all the guys that are the possibilities for that fifth starter spot. Nobody's going out there and pitched three. Nobody's going out there and pitched four. Nobody's going out there and showing me that like they're going to go out and grab that spot. The Pirates seem to be taking their time letting pitchers go a long amount of innings in a game. I went and looked at other Major League Baseball teams. There's several of them that have let some of their starting pitchers now go four. You know, that guys are getting stretched out quicker. Pirates are taking their time on it. So it is hard to figure out who's going to end up with that spot.
And the Pirates have done this, I mean, pretty much since Ben Cherington's come in, is that it's basically like they slow play everything. And I mean, Chris, you saw who I drafted this year in our fantasy draft for my last pick. And it's not a bad thing, but like they've let.
You took Martin Perez. You took Martin. I thought that was hysterical. I was like, oh, there's a Pirates guy who's looking for big things from acquisition.
But people don't know that you can also use he qualifies as a relief pitcher and a starting pitcher.
That is
in
true.
Our thing.
That
so
is true.
So I would go with that, but they've actually let him go more than pretty much anybody on the staff because I'm pretty sure they know what they have with him. I mean, of course, guys are going to come out and say, you know, I'm working on this. I'm not throwing my maximum velocity. You actually don't know what's going to happen because I just watched a game today, Chris, where the Atlanta Braves brought – I mean, maybe Sean Murphy as a starter, like in their, you know, in their opening lineup, but nobody else. So how can you really judge like how the pitchers perform? I mean, Chase Anderson had a great start today, but I mean, Chase Anderson should have a great start against guys who.
Right. All you learn is if he gets blown up. If he gets blown up, you're like, oh, well, no, then he's got a problem, right? In a game like that, if he gets blown up, that's all you're actually looking for. You're right. It depends on the competition and where, you know, what kind of competition are they facing and how often do they have to go in there? That's the only way you're going to learn anything off a guy. And again, I think that you can impress in spring. You can blow a job in spring. Most guys though are working things out. And again, I like the idea of Jared Jones in there just as much as the next guy, because it answers that question that I keep having of, what are you really doing at the back end of that rotation? Doesn't it feel like he's been fed to the press because the general manager didn't go out and get another pitcher and he spent a lot of money on a relief pitcher in free agency instead of bringing in another starter?
Chris. I mean, Chris, that's tough. I mean, we talked about this like on the side, like before this even came out. I mean, I think it was like right after Jared Jones' story came out of, you know, that he was in competition for the rotation, which would be like, you know, a four or five on that rotation. And this kind of goes back to, you know, what we've talked about previously, which was that you didn't go out and get enough guys. I mean, is Jared Jones possibly, you know, a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball? I mean, I would hope so. Did he show me enough in AAA that he would be, you know, just an answer? No, he didn't. I mean,
it felt like it came out of the blue, right? It felt like something that all of a sudden came out of the blue after we were questioning what they did with their rotation. And then all of a sudden it was like, hey, you know, we got a guy that was already in house that may be able to do this, but I don't think he's showing enough. Like, besides Jared Jones, looking at him while you're down in Bradenton, how long are you down there for?
I am down here until Friday morning. So I'm going to see that. I saw this game today. I will see the game in Dunedin tomorrow. And then I will see the game here on Thursday with the spring breakout game on Thursday.
What is the goal for you? Is it looking at specific battles? And if so, who are you looking at? Or is it pressing the flesh and getting to see some of the guys that you talk to all year long and seeing if you can glean anything that we can't figure out normally just in the course of our normal podcasting?
I mean, I was actually hoping to see Henry Davis catch. I mean, that's one of the biggest things I've wanted to see like live because the last game I saw Henry Davis catch, I mean, he's serviceable, but I mean, there was at least four pitches that he absolutely just dropped, like missed. Like, I don't know where to say that anywhere else other than here. I don't think that, you know, I don't want to read too much into that, but I mean, I also saw that in Altoona. So, I mean, like, I don't want to see a catcher go out there and just absolutely just miss pitches. I mean, when you're watching a spring training game, I mean, how many of us are watching it that closely where you're seeing like every play that happens, everything that's going on? I mean, luckily yesterday before I came down, like Henry Davis was catching, I was sitting there with, you know, my oldest son and was saying, I want to watch Henry Davis catch. So he sat there with me and I watched him just absolutely drop like four pitches. Like that shouldn't happen during a major league game. So that's like one thing I want to see is to see him catch. I want to see Jared Triolo versus Leover Piguero. I mean, I stated on this, you know, our show a couple weeks ago that I wanted to see, you know, Jared Triolo be the starting second baseman. Everybody knows that he may fit better because he can play multiple positions. But at some point in time, when a guy is the best player, you need to give him that position. I mean, I've seen, you know, Leo Piguero hit very well, you know, during the spring training, but I've also seen him swing out of his shoes. Jared Triolo is not going to make a mistake at second base. He is going to get you those outs. He's going to do what he needs to do at that position. And that's the tough part about this is because, I mean, we've been talking about this for like 2, 3, 4 years, Chris, now is, you know, having guys get the at-bats that they need, whether it be at the major league level or AAA. So that's where, like, you know, Jared Triolo, like, maybe pushed to a, you know, a utility role just because it will give other guys at bats and he can kind of bounce around. But then I like look at it and I'm like, how many days are these guys taking off? Like, if he's honestly your best player at second base and then you're going to bounce him around, like, Ke'Bryan Hayes is going to take, like, you know, time off in the first week. Ono Cruz is going to take time off in the first week. I mean, maybe Roddy Tellez. But then, like, how many starts are you actually getting this guy? And if he's the best player and he's actually performed at the major league level, I just don't know how you don't. I mean, maybe, I mean, Pirates fans will be, like, out of their minds. But, like, keeping a player like Alika Williams on the bench for a little bit until some guys, you know, press their way up. And just give them, you know, those minimal at bats, as opposed to, you know, not giving, you know, Leover Piguero those at bats. I mean, these are good problems to have, but I understand why people are like kind of frustrated about it to a degree, just because, you know, you want to see a lot of these players get a decent amount of at bats and not be sitting there on the bench. But I mean, we've seen the Pirates be competitive at times, and these guys, there are bench players. If Leover Piguero has to be a bench player for a year, it's not the end of the world. Jared Triolo has to be a bench player for a year, it's not the end of the world. You have to play your best players at some point in time.
If you ever see me out and about in Pittsburgh, you will always recognize me, and not just because of the white beard, but also because of the Y that is always on top of my head, the hat I always wear. The Yinz brand, proud partners with Bucks in the Basement, three dynasties, one brand, Yinz. Finally, one brand to rep all black and gold. Follow at Shop Yinz for new merch drops and giveaways. Order online at www.shopyinz, the emphasis on the two Z's, high quality comfort, lightweight materials, a new modern look for the black and gold. Made for Yinz by a Yinzer.
You need to start playing the guys that belong in the roster, and development comes when a guy forces his way into the roster. And I think that's what you're trying to say there. And I get what you're trying to say. Look, if you go around the horn on this team, okay, you have a first baseman. Rowdy's over there at first. You have a You have a shortstop in O'Neill Cruz. That's his job. Okay. You got Cabrian over at third. That's his job. Brian Reynolds is in the outfield. That's his job. Jack Suwinski's in the outfield. He's got that. That's his job. Okay. You've got a bunch of different spots that are already filled in. Okay. You've got a few guys that you're going to have to make the decision. Is this the person that we want to start the season off with? Because we believe that he gives us the best chance to win. And I think that that's what you have to do. You have to go with the guy that gives you the best chance to win. Development has been what's been going on for the last couple of years. I don't think you give at bats to somebody who's not ready yet because you want to waste 200, 300 at bats, 50, 60 games sitting around and waiting to see if they become something. I think at this point, the guy should be able to, like, if you have a person that's earned it, then by all means, you're going to give them that time. They fail. Okay. But it should be the person that's earned it. And I think that's what you're trying to say here. It should be the person that's earned it because the Pirates should be competing this year. It's a winnable division. It's a division that you can go in there and you can make some hay in. Again, this is what comes back to me being disappointed you didn't go out and add another pitcher to this rotation. Another professional pitcher in this rotation makes this team a far more viable contender. There's too much. They're on the fence too much between development and competing this year. I think this will be a maddening season because you're not going to be able to figure out what the motivation is for things that they do. Is it development because you're ahead of schedule, as we've heard Ben Cherington say, or is it competition? You know, the marketing department's going to tell you competition because they want you to buy seats. What's the GM actually doing? When Derek Shelton's making a decision in game, is he making the decision to win the game, or is he making the decision to develop the player? And this is like this weird limbo type season, it feels like to me. And I don't think it should be that way. I think you should be trying to go out and win at this point. I think you have pieces to go out and play the game and try to win. And if somebody's good enough, they'll break their way into the rotation or break their way into the lineup and they'll earn the job and then you go with them. But I do have this sneaking suspicion it's going to be one of these weird seasons where you're going to be unable to tell what's the real motivation behind how they're making decisions in-game and how they're making decisions with the roster.
Yeah, and they said they would compete this year, which is, I mean, I don't want to get frustrated. Like, I try to be
Everybody says they're competing. Everybody says they're competing, okay? I mean, everybody says they're competing. You mentioned the White Sox earlier on. That team has the lowest payroll they've had in the last 6 years, and all their marketing is that they're competing this year. Nobody in their fan base believes that. You know, everybody in baseball is competing right now in spring. They're telling Angels fans, don't worry, we're going to win. We got rid of Shohei, but it's our year. You know, everybody's competing. Look at the Yankees right now. They lost Garrett Cole. I think they've lost him. It isn't official yet, but I believe they've lost him.
Oh, it's going to be, yeah, I think it's going to be official.
Right. I think it's going to be official very soon. Aaron Judge's stomach's all messed up. They've already got so many holes in their lineup, and they're still trying to convince Yankee fans they're competing. What are you competing for? The last wild card? Because that's probably your best shot in that division right now if you're the Yankees, okay? But they're telling everybody they're competing. So I expect the Pirates to say they're competing. This fan base would be furious if they weren't trying to compete at this point. We saw growth last year. The problem is the owner didn't give enough money, first of all, to be able to compete. At this point, you should be able to field a competitive team while the developing players are moving their way in to your team, into use, onto the 26-man, onto the starting nine, okay? That development can still continue as your window opens up and hopefully stays open for years and years and years, okay? But there wasn't a full committal by the team. The team didn't fully commit to that, okay? The team stopped short. They didn't invest the dollars, and I'm not talking that they needed to invest another $50 million. Another $20 million rounds off this team pretty well. Another $20 million still keeps you well in the bottom half of Major League Baseball payrolls. And another $20 million should have been completely doable. And if that wasn't coming, you didn't need to go out and pay $10 million for a relief pitcher this year because you had more glaring needs. So there is a problem with the way that the team committed their funds. There's a problem with how the funds were spent. And I think that that's going to be like, it doesn't mean that the rebuild is ruined. It doesn't mean that they're not going to be better in later years. It does make me temper my expectations slightly compared to what I had at the beginning of the offseason because this is a free agent market in which, let's be honest, there is still talent out there trying to find a home. You could have slow paid, played every free agent you wanted to and gotten them at the right price. So you can't sit there and say, well, talent was eaten up or they just didn't want to come to Pittsburgh. There are guys right now begging for Pittsburgh to call them and give them a reasonable offer because they don't have anywhere to go and it's the middle of March. So that's where my confusion, my concern, that's where it leads with this team, because you do have some nice young stars. You do have an awful lot of potential. You could do something this year. And I'm not saying that they won't make a trade midseason with some of the capital that they have and that they might not be able to add in the next offseason, but it just feels like they weren't in 100% on winning a division this year. Their decision-making seems to be more of, well, let's add a few pieces, but we're still not there yet. And I look at this division and I say, well, who is there? Who is so world beater in the National League Central that you're afraid to invest another $20 million, spend the money in the proper way? And if you weren't trying to win, why is Aroldis Chapman on your team for $10 million? Right? I don't know what he brings.
Chris, that bothers you, brother.
It bothers the hell out of me. You don't need Aroldis Chapman at $10 million if you're not competing for the postseason. Okay? It is a weird spend of your money when you don't have all the starting pitching you need. It is a strange decision to go and get him. Like, you go get an Aroldis Chapman for $10 million when you're finishing off a team's construction. Not at this weird, it is such a strange thing with all the other starting pitching that's sitting out there. And starting pitchers, Lance Lynn was $10 million to go pitch for the Cardinals. Now, I think Lance Lynn is done. He's a launching pad. He throws three different kinds of fastballs, and you can only fool Major League Baseball for so long with that. It's not like he got a lot of variation. But there are pitchers out there right now who have not found a home who are going to take less than what Lance Lynn took in a prove-it deal, and they should be sitting in Pirates camp right now. And maybe I'm just uninformed. Maybe Ben Cherington's got about four of those deals sitting on a table, and he's telling somebody, like, look, when you're ready to sign for $8 million, I got it. Come on in, right? But I just look at the Chapman deal and I go, it's such a weird thing. If you were in enough to go get him and spend that money, why wasn't there a little bit more money spent to round out the roster? If you weren't going to get all that money, why was it spent on him? It could have been spent on something else. Why does it feel like we're halfway in? We have 1 foot in and 1 foot in development. That isn't going to accomplish anything this year. And it feels like a waste of resources.
No, we have a toe in the water and we're testing things. And I don't know if, and here's the thing, is I hate that because I don't know if this is like, the Pirates can always like, you know, back off and say this is like a weird free agency year, because it is a weird free agency year. It's different than anything we have ever seen.
I mean, it's because the owners are colluding. The owners are colluding. I'm sorry. Some of the players are already talking about it. I completely believe it. There's collusion all over Major League Baseball. I will preface this with allegedly, and I'm a guy who wears a tinfoil hat, so nobody will get all whipped up on it. But I think anybody with a brain looks at some of the things that are going on. Like, the American League Central doesn't have one team that's in the top half of Major League Baseball spending. Don't tell me all those owners aren't on the phone with each other saying, let's all stay here. I don't believe anything other than the fact that that's a real thing. All right. You see certain divisions that everybody spends and certain divisions where they don't spend. It's got nothing to do with their market size. It has to do with, hey, what are we all going to do here? You've got the guy from the Dodgers. Is it Enrique Hernandez? Do I have the right name? He was just on.
Oh,
yeah.
Kiki.
Yeah. Yeah. Kiki Hernandez. Kiki Hernandez was just on a podcast with a bunch of different baseball guys, Foul Territory. And he immediately said, I got like three of the same offers at the exact same time from three different teams. They all said the exact same thing. There was barely any wiggle room whatsoever. Nobody came in with anything different. It was as if they all talked ahead of time before they offered me a deal. If free agency is weird, it's because when the players caved, and we all wanted them to because we wanted baseball on time, remember? But when the players caved, the owners had advantages. And we're seeing the result of that right now. For the same reason that when they go to their rules committee, strangely, the owners have more votes than the players. So the owners really run the entire thing. Remember when they did that too? I was like, oh, so the owners get two more votes than what the players get on this committee? Well, then the players will never get anything they want on the rules committee. And that's how it's worked. Okay? You don't become billionaires by being stupid. So that's why it's weird. It's weird because there's weird stuff going on. Unprovable weird stuff in the only business in this entire country that just benefits from an antitrust law and takes full advantage of the entire thing. That's baseball, a place that used to have a commissioner that was appointed from outside of the owners and given a lifetime appointment so he couldn't be influenced. And then when the commissioner died back in the 80s, or was it the early 90s when A. Bartlett Giamatti died? The 90s? When he died, they were like, well, we're not going to have any more of that nonsense. Let's put an owner in there as the commissioner. And Bud Selig walked in the door. And it's always been different ever since then. Rob Manfred doesn't even like baseball. If you listen to him talk, I don't even think he enjoys watching the game. He's just a guy that's in there protecting the interests of the owners. So if you want to know why it's weird in free agency, that's why. Sorry. That's my rant. I just, like, every time I look at the state of baseball, sometimes I want to pull my hair out. And it just undercuts what the issue is with the Pirates. The Pirates are a team owned by a billionaire that isn't spending any money, that has an opportunity to spend money and isn't spending money. That's a completely separate issue than how Ben Cherington spends the money he's given. I hold him responsible for how he spends the money from the cheapskate. I hold the cheapskate responsible for putting him in the position in the first place, and that's why there's one toe in the water here. After years and years of this team, what, doing nothing? I mean, how many years are Pirates fans really going to sit around and wait? All that's going to be left are the ones that don't even understand the game. They just go there for the pretty colors and fly in the flag. Because anybody that knows anything about baseball is getting sick of this team.
Well, Chris, the two things I'm thinking of is that Paul Giamatti is Albert Giamatti's son. And my favorite M. Night Shyamalan movie is Lady in the Water, which is not everybody else's favorite, you know, M. Night Shyamalan movie. My second thing that I'm thinking about is that, you know, Jared Jones has pitched well enough to be in consideration for the starting rotation that has been set up, you know, by Ben Cherington, by Derek Shelton.
You might as well pitch him. You might as well pitch him. If you're going to dip a toe in the water, then just pitch him.
I mean, let's go get that guy that, like, lifts the weights in Lady in the Water and, like, gets him, like, you know, he has that giant arm. He, like, lifts one arm. I mean, let's just make that Jared Jones, right?
All right. Well, you've lost me. You've lost
and
me
we
with
just
your,
want
your
both
in the
black
movie reference here at the end. You've lost me. I'm lost.
I mean, Chris,
I think I turned that movie off. I think I turned that movie off halfway through. That movie was so weird.
I mean, that movie is amazing. Lift the weights, Jared Jones. Lift the weights.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change.